may be seated. I am sure that at some time you have noticed the sign which read, "Private property, no trespassing." I must admit, I've seen those signs a lot in the past, not so much recently, but probably somewhere there's still a sign that announces that. What the sign means and why it was posted is that you are not welcome to come on this property unless you are specifically invited to that house by the owners. Otherwise, stay off the property or you could be prosecuted for trespassing. So the sign was a statement, but it was also a warning to those who violated the message of that sign. The petition from the Lord's Prayer that we are considering this morning is, "Forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us." This petition for God's forgiveness of our sins is a statement, it's a promise, and it's a warning. First, let us consider this petition as a statement. This petition in Matthew 6:12 says, "Forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us." That's the way it's translated in the New American... That's the way it's translated in the Book of Common Prayer. I'll get there in a minute. The New American Standard is, "Forgive us our debts as we have also forgiven our debtors." Scripture presents sins as law-breaking, violating the boundaries of God's law, trespasses, deviation, shortcoming, rebellion, pollution, and missing one's target. And it is always all these things in relation to God. It's possible to sin against God and not sin against any person. Of course, when you sin against another person, you have also sinned against God. But the special angle which the Lord's Prayer views is that of unpaid debts. If we look at both passages where the Lord's Prayer is recorded, in Matthew 6 and Luke 11, our wrongdoing in these two passages are referred to, depending on your translation, as debts, trespasses, transgressions, and sins. In fact, our Pew Bible, the New American Standard Version, uses the word debts. But when it translates Matthew 6, 14, and 15, where Jesus gives comments about this petition, the New American Standard uses the word transgressions. Luke 4, the version says, "And forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us." Other English translations use the word trespasses in Matthew 6, 12, and verse 14 and 15. And that's why the compilers of the Book of Common Prayer stuck with the word trespasses, because that came from the Tyndale translation of the Bible, which they no doubt were using. So when I'm in mixed company of various Christian churches and we go to say the Lord's Prayer together, I always preface it, we're going to be using trespasses or we're going to be using debts, because otherwise you're kind of stuck in gear. But be that as it may, trespasses means when someone crosses a property line, which I used as my opening illustration, while debtors means someone owes you something and hasn't settled the debt. This statement includes that we have been forgiven by God when we go to Him earnestly through the power of Christ. We're forgiven of our many sins, both intentional and those we are not conscious of. This statement also means that we are to forgive those who trespass against us, even those who don't know they've trespassed against us, who didn't see the line, who didn't realize they stepped on someone else's private property. Now, it would be nice if every time someone sinned against you, they would own up to their sin, apologize to you, and full reconciliation would happen. But come on, that's not always the case. Sometimes people have unsettled debts with us. Perhaps they haven't even acknowledged that they wronged us. Maybe they don't even remember the incident, or they deny it. Or time has elapsed, and they live no longer here, but 10 hours away. Or perhaps the person who sinned against you doesn't even live anymore. We all deal with unpaid debts. Christ himself has given us marching orders, though. Forgive those who sin against you, even as you have been forgiven. This is a statement in the form of a command by our Savior Christ, and he expects us to live by it. And the reason why we are to forgive others is that we have been forgiven of a huge debt to God in our sins. So this first petition is a statement. Secondly, this petition is a promise given by God himself. For when we come to Matthew 6:14, we hear this petition in the form of a promise. For if you forgive others their transgressions, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. This verse very much speaks of the reciprocal relationship between God's forgiveness of our sins and the forgiveness that we are to extend to those who sin against us. It is not that we earn God's forgiveness by forgiving others, but rather, a necessary evidence of genuine faith in Christ is shown by us forgiving other people. And so from our faith comes good works. Repentance is a good work proceeding from our faith in Christ. And forgiving others is a good work in which all Christian believers are called to walk in. Every one of us is sinned against, and every one of us sin against other people. Yeah, I could use illustrations of huge aspects and acts of forgiveness. Corrie ten Boom was treated roughly when she was in concentration camp. And after the war was over, the man, one of the guards who had mistreated her, came to listen to one of her talks. Wow. You talk about a huge act of forgiving those who have sinned against you. Now, as I say that, I haven't ever met anybody in my life who has sinned against me in that way. So while we can marvel at these huge acts of forgiveness that has happened, let us also remember that most of us are involved in garden variety sins. People insult us. People take us for granted. The way you massage and work the gift of faith is being proven faithful in the little. It's the little sins that we confront throughout our lives from day to day. And if we're found faithful in forgiving those, God will give us strength to forgive the bigger ones. But whatever we encounter, big offenses to small offenses to somewhere in between, God expects us to be faithful, to forgive those who have sinned against you, even as Christ has forgiven you. And so forgiving is a necessary evidence that we have been forgiven of our sins. We forgive others because Christ has forgiven us. Now, don't worry, I'm about to quote a chorus, but I won't sing it. This gospel chorus I learned as a child. I owed a debt I could not pay. Christ paid a debt he did not owe. I needed someone to wash my sins away. And now I sing a brand new song, Amazing Grace. Christ Jesus paid a debt that I could never pay. This gospel chorus is a brilliant summary of the good news of Jesus Christ. But again, tag on to it how we need to forgive others. Because every time you forgive others, you're remembering the gospel. J.I. Packer comments on this promise of God's forgiveness in this petition. Quote, "The Christian lives through forgiveness. This is what justification by faith is all about. We could have no life or hope with God at all had God's Son not borne the penalty of our sin so that we might go free. But Christians fall short still, and forgiveness is needed each day. End of quote. This petition is a reminder that we are sinners who are forgiven through Christ and who are able to extend Christ's love to others who do us wrong. So the petition is a promise. But third of all, this petition is also a warning. This petition is a warning which is explicitly seen in our Lord's words in Matthew 6:15, where he comments and expounds further on this petition. Christ's commentary on this petition makes it abundantly clear that petition is a warning as well as a promise. It is a warning that if we refuse to forgive others of their wrongdoing against us, then God won't forgive us either. Let us notice the full import of this warning as Jesus repeated this idea, this principle, in a different form in Matthew 18:21-35, where Jesus tells a parable about a servant who was forgiven a debt by his master of 15 years of wages. However you want to calculate that out, it's a lot of money. A money that we could not pay back within our lifetime. And this same servant who has been forgiven 15 years of wages refuses to forgive a fellow servant of 3 months' wages. Once the master hears of the servant's refusal to forgive the much smaller debt, he is thrown in jail because he was not willing to forgive a much smaller debt. And Jesus ends the parable speaking about those who do this are in outer darkness. This parable was given in response to Peter's question to Jesus, "Lord, how often shall my brother sin against me and I forgive him? Up to 7 times? Peter was probably feeling good about himself because at that time the rabbis taught you could forgive up to 3 times and after that you could be on your own. Didn't have to forgive the 4th time. So Peter is feeling quite generous when he says, "Do I have to forgive up to 7 times? And Jesus said to him, "I do not say to you up to 7 times, but up to 70 times 7. In other words, we need to perpetually forgive someone who sins against us. Do not hold a grudge against the person who wronged you, but release him or her from what they did to you, said to you, even if they never say they're sorry." This is what Jesus has in mind in Matthew 6:15, where he says with this warning, "But if you do not forgive others, then your Father will not forgive your transgressions." If we do not forgive others, we are engaged in the worst kind of hypocrisy, because while we were forgiven an enormous debt by God, we turn around and refuse to forgive a relatively small debt to others who did us wrong. This is not to deny the gravity of wrongs that others have committed against us or to minimize their sins. But it does mean in relation to our sins against God, what others have done against us is small in comparison. Let us also remember that we are sinners. We do wrong to others as well as others do wrong to us. And we need to preach the gospel to ourselves as we pray to God to forgive us and pray to God that we would be willing to forgive others who have wronged us. This petition in the Lord's Prayer is a statement, it's a promise, and it's a warning. Since all of God's word is for the well-being of our relationship with God, let us be conscientious and careful to believe God's promises, to heed God's warnings, to obey God's will. For it is in repenting of our sins before God, receiving His forgiveness, and extending others that same forgiveness, that we grow and we have a life within us. And that is how we're able to have assurance that we are forgiven as we forgive others. Let us pray. O Lord, our Heavenly Father, help us to trust in You, to receive Your good gift of forgiveness and salvation. And help us, O Lord, to extend forgiveness to others who have wronged us. This we pray through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen.